When it comes to building a new landfill, there are more moving parts than one can imagine. The environmental regulations are stringent, and any new landfill has a myriad of issues to address in order to be in compliance. Any landfill has a myriad of issues. Placement of landfill facilities, use of screening elements along the property boundaries, and drop-off areas for recyclables are just a few that top that list. Given that the amount of waste that the city of Tucson produces, combined with population growth, leaders in our city must plan for the future. Stay with me to learn what goes into building a new landfill and how we can all work together to keep that operation moving smoothly in the years to come. Hey everyone, I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and we're going to get down to earth talking about building a new landfill and getting the inside scoop. Before I introduce our guest, a big thanks to the City of Tucson's Department of Environmental Services. They are the sponsor of this show. Their mission is to promote a healthy Tucson community by providing innovative and effective waste management and environmental protection services. And I just want to press pause there because think about that. They have to provide innovative and effective waste management and environmental protection services. They're doing a big job for us behind the scenes. And trust me when I say that big job is every single day to protect our environment, and they're doing it. You're going to learn a bit more about that in just a minute. And one more quick shout out from another MGW partner, Tucson Electric Power. Check door seals for proper fit to avoid air leaks. And they give us a simple way. And I love this. It's a very simple way. If you can easily slide a credit card between the door and the frame, adjust or replace the seal. It's as simple as that. And I always say, why pay to either heat or cool the outside air? Keep the cool in, keep the heat in. So take a few minutes and check it out in your home or business. So now please join me in welcoming Martin Bay, Landfill Services Administrator, City of Tucson. And Martin, I don't know if Christina Paulsgrove, who's the Public Information Officer for Environmental Services, has shared with you that I am truly a bit obsessed with landfills. I go out there, I want to stay, and I say, Christina, what is over there? What are they doing over there? There is always so much going on. It's massive. Just the traffic alone, the trucks going in and out, people coming in and out, you know, dumping their trash, which has to be monitored. So I mean it when I say I'm really excited about this show. There's the whole hazardous waste component, the dust abatement piece, and even things that people throw away, you have to be monitoring that. So there are many moving parts. You're going to tell me a lot about them, I hope. All making sure you're in compliance with a lot of regulations. So I'm glad that I don't have your job, but I'm thrilled you're doing such a good one. So, and I'm also thrilled that I'm here to grill you on the details. But before we dive into me grilling you about details about the landfill, what is your background? Because you have a really big job. It's a very responsible job for our protection. So you come from a long line of managing landfills, or what's your background?
Yeah, I started out... it was a 3-credit-hour class while I was at the Indiana University looking at a Superfund site at a landfill. And after I graduated, they hired me.
Bug bit you.
Yeah. And basically, I had planned not only to do it for a couple of years and look into other environmental areas, and that was about 27 years ago.
And the cliche would be, baby, look at you now, because it really, I don't know how to really get it across to listeners that if you go out there and see the magnitude and scope of what it takes, it's really a lot. And it's fascinating to me how it gets done, and it does in regulations. But I want to know about the Los Reales landfill. That's what we're going to be talking about for this show. I've been here since 1975, and I think it was there then.
Yes, it actually opened in 1967. That area was originally borrow pits from when they built I-10.
There was nothing out there either.
No, the town was smaller then.
It was like you had to drive, really drive. It was way, way, way out there. So it's been going since 1967. And it's still, there still seems to me to be a lot of land, even though a lot of it is being used for landfill. Whose insight was that? Do you have any idea to make sure there was going to be capacity for a city that grew and keeps growing and growing and growing?
Yeah, their early leaders had a good idea.
They had a vision.
Having it there, it didn't have to get shipped as far, being that close to town. And now we're up to 1,122 acres. We've just purchased some land last year. just to protect us, basically, so we'll be open for many years to come.
So is there a finite amount of time? Like, how long do you expect the Los Reales landfill to be able to take the massive amount of trash that we produce in this community?
Yeah, at current, if the current rates and growth patterns stay the same, we have space for the next 60 years.
Okay, I don't have to worry about it then.
No,
now I can say that.
But someone will in 60 years.
Yes, and it'll be here before you know it. That's the thing. It'll be here before you know it. So then what happens? Once it's at capacity, do you know then, because you have managed a lot of landfills, what happens? Close it up? Lock the key?
Yeah, they usually get closed. A lot of times they become parks. You know, you can't do a lot of infrastructure on the area, but for the next 30 years, it's watched over pretty tightly. There's always gas collection until there is no more.
Right,
That could go on for over 100 years.
Methane?
Yes, it's a landfill gas that has about 50% of its methane.
Okay. I don't want to foray into will we ever be able to capture that and turn it into energy use, but maybe that's a story for another show. So you literally just lock it and watch it.
Yeah.
And then move somewhere else.
Yeah, that's usually the game plan.
Okay. So it's also my understanding from visiting out there and in talking with Christina that Los Reales is not just for the city of Tucson. It's a regional landfill. So what does that encompass?
Yes. Over the past few years, a lot of the little dumplings, we call them, but a lot of the small landfills.
No pun intended, little dumplings.
Yeah, a lot of small landfills were out through the county have filled up and they're closed. And Los Reales grew and put in larger cells to handle everybody's trash in the mostly Pima County, but it can come from other areas. You know.
So you're taking a lot of trash in. So it's mm-hmm. the city, Pima County, and private haulers.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the private haulers? Are they just little companies that set up? Are they little dumplings that set up and get, like here, my husband and I don't like this at all, but we have three waste management providers in our neighborhood. So there's mm-hmm. garbage trucks all the time. And I voted against that in my homeowners association. It's like, we only need one garbage truck every day. Mm-hmm. So is it, companies like that spring yes. up and say, I'm going to get in the trash collection business?
Yeah, in the county, that's a lot. In the city, the city provides a service.
Right.
But
right.
out in the county, it's open to lots of competition. And there's lots there's a lot of green waste created here in our monsoon, after our monsoon season and through the winter. There's lots of landscapers and they're the small businesses that use the landfill a lot.
Right, they do. I know. And what I think is great also is you partner. Like my friend Jason Tankersley has Tanks Green Stuff and his landfill, and he takes green waste. Mm-hmm. But you are good at partnering to help them and help each other. And I know with the Christmas tree. Tree cycle. I don't know who thinks up all these clever names, Martin, but I like them. I really like them. What are we talking about in terms of capacity, though? Like in a year, do you have to measure how much comes in? If so, how? And how much is it? Like, how do you measure how much trash comes in there?
Well, we do everything. We monitor everything by the ton. Let's say 5 years ago, we were only doing about 1,500 tons per day. And today we're doing over 2,300 tons per day.
A day?
Per day, yeah.
So I can't do the math fast enough. Is that like 600,000, 700,000? How many tons of that is it in a year?
I think last year we were at 680-something thousand. We report that to the state. There's actually a tax. You know, we pay 25 cents per ton. To the state to be able to landfill it.
For the privilege and joy of being able to landfill all of the garbage. What about, I've only gone in with Christina in her truck, so I didn't pay attention. Are there scales? Do you weigh it?
Yes.
Okay.
There's actually two inbound scales. One is automated for trucks that have already been teared in previously.
You know how much the truck weighs.
They have a little radio frequency tag on their truck, and they don't have to wait in any lines. And then there's the main inbound scale, and then there's an outbound scale.
You know, this is no part of the questioning, but when I go out there, one of the things that actually makes me sad, because I'm pretty excited and I've done videos out there. I can't believe what people throw away. It makes me really upset because there are so many needs in our community and so many nonprofits that use one man's trash, another man's treasure, and turns it into, you know, service money to provide services for people that are hungry and unemployed and on and on. And I go out there and I say to Christina, can someone who go out there, can they take stuff out of the landfill?
Well, there's actually state law against it. Once it comes it comes into the landfill, it has to be buried.
What comes to the landfill stays in the landfill.
Yeah. We're all for diversion efforts before it gets to our gate, though.
Right. That's,
we see what we bury. There's lots. I always looked at. There's, you know, half of what's in there doesn't have to be in there.
Just see, I respect your opinion. You said about half, and that's what I think. I'm there, and I'm saying, Christina, why are they throwing that out? Why are they throwing that out? And especially when some of those things they're throwing out can be farmed for their parts and reused when there are shortages of you know, different kinds of minerals. And I don't want to get in too deep there because I'll be in trouble. But it's mindlessness because. Like, I'm just going to say Goodwill. They're a client of mine. I'll get accused of, you know, giving an extra shout-out to a client. I love Goodwill. You can't swing a cat without finding a Goodwill delivery station. And I have to use that. I have to say that expression is, it's about a cat and nine tails. It's not about swinging a cat. But I'm glad that you agree with me because my jaw dropped. And I went out with Kelly, our show producer, and we were shocked and appalled and then sad. It's like people aren't thinking. And in some cases, they could actually sell it to consignment stores. It's just that extra step to help all of us with reducing our waste. Okay, that's my little rant. Tell us about some of the regulations. I would assume, I said at the top of the show, you're highly regulated. I know dust abatement is one because that's air quality. What other kinds of things do you, sitting in your role, have to make sure there's compliance around?
Well, you know, air quality is a big one. You know, the state and the county, you know, watch everybody around here, construction sites. You know, as one inspector told me once, that if there's a dust devil that pops up on our lot, it's our dust devil, and we can't do that.
So we control Mother Nature.
We use reused water and spray a lot of any of our non-paved roads. We have to keep a real big track on that. Really important issue of what kind of, you know, landfill this is, taking municipal solid waste, is that it's considered a subtitle D landfill. That's an EPA rating. That means it has the proper liners and leachate collection, which is the basically water and garbage use runoff that is down on the bottom. It's pulled out and treated. And
so you literally go in there with hoses and suck out whatever goes to the bottom?
No, there's pumps put in when you build it.
Yeah. I know nothing about that part.
Yeah, and there's actually a series of different liners and that you put on it. So they're all usually made out of high density polyethylene, which makes it a big bathtub.
So what happens? I mean, I am the non chemist. So all the solid waste goes in. Is solid waste garbage? Is it trash? Is that what that is? Solid waste.
Yeah,
I'm thinking.
Yeah,
okay, and then. It rots, basically, decomposes, whatever kind of word we can come up with. And then different gases and chemicals and fumes can come about as a result of that, and it all goes to the bottom?
Right. Well, the gases will go out wherever they can escape. So there's actually big blower pumps that we have to keep a negative vacuum on the entire landfill. And and that's connected to different pipes and manifolds that suck it all to a treatment plant. Right now, that gas gets sent to TEP, to their Sunt generation station. When they go to their new, they're building a whole new plant there as far as the generators go, and they won't be able to use our gas. It's too dirty. We're looking at different the next possibilities of what we're going to do with it, which is probably pressurizing and screening it so it's a cleaner cleaner product that can be put into the pipeline.
I'm telling you, everybody listening, press pause here. We just don't think about it because all you think about your trash is that it gets picked up by the garbage man. And that's part of what's wrong. We never see where it goes or what happens to it or how much we produced. And boy, one trip out there. I'm going to encourage our listeners to go out and visit your landfill. So that regulations are around air, mm-hmm. around any chemical seeping into the ground, groundwater, the land. Was it always like that? Was it always that highly regulated? Or you've been doing this almost 30 years. Yeah, have those regulations been in place?
Before 1972, before the EPA Act that created Subtitle D, they were dumps back then. There were some were done well. At least they put them in an area where there was clay, you know, but they weren't lined.
But whatever happened, happened.
And in this landfill, our first part of our landfill, we call it the old cell, it's not lined. And we monitor that and treat the water by it, and probably will for eternity.
Forever.
You know? Yeah. I shouldn't say eternity. The history shows a couple hundred years and everything's pretty much bad. It's gone out of it. But you never really know what might be in it, what kind of chemicals or anything.
So who's the heaviest duty regulator? Is it the EPA? And then do the county and city superimpose other regulations? Or is it just you're going to the EPA standard?
Well, that's usually the standard, but they apply that to ADEQ, Arizona Department of... they actually pass some stuff off to, like Pima County does the air here, the air
right.
quality.
I know. My friend Beth Gorman, she's on it. She checks even on weekends all those air quality stations and will give alerts.
Yeah, and that's stuff that ADEQ has worked with the counties and passes that on to them. Down to the counties take care of recycling tires, but it's through a grant from the state.
I'm telling you, the use there could be for tires when that time comes, because they don't ever go away. ever go away.
Recently, where the Caterpillar office building's being built downtown, mm-hmm. that was on an old Congress landfill that we actually spent a year removing all the trash from that landfill and moving it out to Los
Reales.
The one
that's on the other side of the interstate where they're new? I had no idea.
And we moved 300,000 cubic yards out of it.
To Los Reales?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Most people really didn't know that was going on, but that was part of the deal to get that office building.
Wow.
With that, we found quite a few old tires, from the 1940s and stuff. They don't go away.
Way back when, I interviewed this guy from New Mexico who built all the Earth ships, and I'll think of his name in a minute, was Mike. And you should see those Earth ships. You know what they use? Tires. They use tires because they're just, there'll never be a shortage. And they just fill them with, I don't know what the heck they fill them with, adobe. Mm-hmm. And those Earth ships, they stay at 72 degrees, no heating, no cooling. They have solar to help generate with that. But, I mean, tires are a big, huge issue that we don't think about. Where do the tires go? They just go away. Do they ever come and monitor you? Do inspectors come and check it out?
Yeah, the state comes out every year. County really responds. They come around once a year, but they respond to any problems, if anybody calls about anything that goes from litter to dust.
Well, in terms of putting it right back to the consumer, when I found out from my friend at TMC that upper respiratory disease is the third cause of death in Pima County, you're doing a big job. Because air quality, it's not always upper respiratory disease is air quality, but if you have one and the air quality is compromised, you're going to be darn glad that you're there doing a good job to keep it down. And it's not you, it's every construction site, and we have stuff going on all over the place all the time here, it seems. We're building, and if we don't get a lot of rain, there's those particles in the air. So now I think you have some good news, too. I like to hear good news. You're building I was calling it Cell Block 4, but I think it's just Cell 4 that you're going to use. Tell us about that.
Yeah, they call them cells, but they're actually new areas where we put liner. And, it's in a pit about 100 feet down, and we compact clay around first. And it's an engineered system, the Subtitle D thing. And then we'll put a drainage layer. Then we'll put a protective HDPE, high-density polyethylene layer, and it's double-layered. That way we go a little farther than we need to. We don't want to be known for something. In the past, some places have gone a little chintzy when their designs, and they've paid a price for it. We'll never have to worry about that here.
It's really, really great because some of these things that you read about, that it's protected and the hazardous waste is protected, and then Mother Nature comes along and kind of says, ha, 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 my storm's going to not protect that big old thing that you're storing in, and it's flooded and there's waste. I mean, it's a big, big, big deal to manage it. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, so how far along is the cell?
Well, we're just cutting it, as they call it, the dirt machines have just showed up, so we're starting on it basically this week, and it'll be 5.7 acres, and like I said, it's down about 100 feet. When it's completed, it'll come up about 90 feet. So it's a pretty big pile of compressed.
So garbage. Why did you do that? When you said this one would last 60 more years at least, does that include that new cell?
Yeah, we do. Wow. We do them in segments because they're very expensive. You know, to do something that's 5 or 6 acres,
yeah,
it costs around, you know, $3 million. So, you know, you can't really afford to do giant areas. Plus that liner, you really don't want that stuff sitting around for a long time with our sun down here.
And, right.
And you know, if you do them in segments, and this process is it's planned way ahead, you know. You have to do them in small areas or it would be a real tax burden also. But we are an enterprise fund, by the way. We pay for ourselves through our own generation at the scale house, so we're not on the general fund.
Wow.
With the tax rules. But we call this area that we're building now Cell 4A, and in 6 years we'll build Cell 4B. And then after...
In 6 years?
Mm-hmm. And then the Cell 4B will be a little bit larger. I think it goes 7.5 years. Then it'll be Cell 5 after that. We just, and it'll keep going that way for the next 60 years.
Oh, my gosh. So I have to go back to the old Congress landfill. Is that finished? Did you do it all?
Actually.
Because that is big news to me, yeah, and I didn't know there was
We're real close in finishing that. We had to wait for, there was a TEP variance where they had to take out a power line. I hear that's out now, so sometime next month we'll probably take the last 10,000 yards out of there.
It's unbelievable. Talk about massive, and that fills up your landfill too.
it does, but it gets rid of, you know, that was an old unlined dumpling, as we call them, and it's gone now, and there's a nice office building in its place.
No kidding. I'm going to ask Meredith, our social media person, to put hashtag dumpling when we're tweeting about this, because that's kind of clever. But then, speaking of clever, tell me I did not make this up. Tell me that Christina did not send me a line that said, ask Martin about the, I can hardly say it without laughing, the landfill heavy equipment competition called Rodeo. Is that really, was she trying to make like a joke on me? Is there going to be a rodeo competition?
Yes, actually, at the landfill, in mid-March, there'll be it's a heavy equipment competition between other landfills in the state.
Do you think that's hysterical? I think it's great.
Solid Waste Association of North America has been doing these statewide for quite a while. There's a national one that'll be in Phoenix this year, and that'll be in the fall, I think. But it's a fun competition.
What happens? What is a rodeo competition? Can the public? Is it open to the public? You can get rodeo seats.
There's two parts of it. One's for the collection trucks, and that will be over behind O'Reilly Chevrolet, I think.
Okay.
Over by Park Place
Bright
Mall.
Park. Right.
And there'll be garbage trucks going between cones and competing.
You're kidding? Like racing?
Well, it's not really racing. It's how efficiently and how well they do their job.
Okay.
As far as picking up stuff and setting it down between tight areas and things. And then at the landfill, the heavy equipment one will be bulldozers pushing dirt and going between barrels and not hitting them.
So who comes? A lot of the staff come? Because that is something I'm going to ask Christina what it is, because that's something that I would crack up and get lots of social media stuff for.
Oh, you're always welcome to. A lot of the people there are friends or relatives of the people
hardcore
that are competing.
Hardcore waste management.
And it's folks from other landfills and other
prizes?
Collections. They get trophies, and the winners get to go to the national competition.
Like, who knew? Who knew? When you listen to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, you find out things that you never knew were even possible. What's next? I always like to know the inside scoop. Is it cells that are going to be next? Are there plans for hazardous waste? What's next?
Actually, we are planning a new hazardous waste facility at the landfill to better serve everyone. We've had with it, we'll probably remove the old center at above Sweetwater near the interstate. And when we have our new center, we'll be able to do more neighborhood visits. Our brush and bulky campaign is so popular that we're expanding it in several different ways, and one of them probably will be expanding household hazardous waste collection around the same times, or at least the same neighborhoods. That's our plans anyway. But for the landfill's part, we'd like to put in a building. Right now it just has an awning. And
I've seen that awning. Mm-hmm. Did a little video out there.
When we have the building there, we'll be able to have hoods to process some of the paints and other, you know. As far as our latex paint, we have a great program with the Beacon Group.
Right, right.
Where they take care of a lot of our paint and are offering. They've just gotten a new filter, I heard, that so they can clean the recycled paint to the point where it can be sprayed. They think a lot more customers will like that.
I mean, and that's an unbelievable, talk about a community partnership. It's another loop where there are really handicapped, mentally and physically disabled people that otherwise would sit at home and rot, that are literally, it's horrible. But there's Beacon hires them and helps with all of this. Mm-hmm. And what's the name of the place that sells the paint? I have to think about it. Gerson's?
They still have some older stuff there, but Beacon, I don't have that address with me. I'll have
it's
to get
okay.
That for
Beacon
you.
Foundation. We can put it on the website notes.
Yeah, they have a new store opening up.
Well, that's good to tell
directly
me.
From them.
That's really a good idea because it's hard. People, like, if I'm looking for paint, I love mm-hmm. Gerson's and what they do, but you don't think about going to get your paint out there. Mm-hmm. So I know they wanted that to work, but it really will be good to be able to have that. So, Martin, what are some of the hazardous wastes that are so important for our listeners to know? Don't ever throw it in your garbage can. I know enamel paint, latex paint. Mm-hmm. What else?
Oh, any of those hydrocarbon-based things, you just don't want them in your trash. Especially used oils, gasolines, fuels of all different kinds. They really need to be taken care of in a hazardous waste program, not anything that goes into the landfill. It's kind of nice. It can't get out, with the liners and stuff. But, we don't want our leachate to be toxic either.
It's a safety issue for all of us. I mean, for everybody that lives here and breathes the air. One of the things that you do, you mentioned, is brush and bulky, and we've done shows on that. And you can tell when James and I are driving around neighborhoods, you can tell when it's brush and bulky time because people they wait for it. Mm-hmm. And they put all of their stuff out, and it's a massive amount of cleanup, and they clean out alleys. And the other one is hazardous waste collection, the first Saturday of each month. Mm-hmm. Those cars start lining up there, which makes me happy. It's consciously living citizens, and they'll take your hazardous waste. Mm-hmm. Just don't keep storing it in your garage. That's the thing, because it's going to get a lot hotter here. So, container maintenance facility, what is that?
That's we have our own roll-off boxes and containers for commercial that those front loaders pick up. You see them behind buildings and stuff. That basically they don't wear well in the weather, and they get banged around. So it's basically a welding shop and a painting shop.
Oh, that's good.
And a place to take your two-wheeled bins. They fix those there and put them together.
There's a lot of upkeep. This weather is brutal on that, and mm-hmm. plus it's waste. I mean, once the summer comes, we were talking off air about, if you live in Tucson now, you're in heaven and you're watching what's going on around the country. Everybody's either drowning or freezing to death, and we're walking around in shorts, and people that come to visit from the east are in swimming pools. I don't swim in the swimming pool unless it's over 100 degrees. But you see those Easterners, and they're at the hotels and stuff in their bathing suits, and I'm walking around with a sweater. So we're pretty blessed. I hope you had as much fun as I did. Yes. I loved the questions, and I just want to do my last word from Mrs. Green. As you all well know, we're committed to raising awareness about every aspect of climate change that we can think of. This is one of those shows that serves to remind me that the first R is reduce. I feel blessed and grateful that I actually know so many people involved with the handling of the waste produced in my city. They not only do that, they do it well to protect all of us. That being said, when it comes to climate change and global warming, overconsumption is truly the culprit. If you are in Tucson, I encourage you to take one of the landfill tours. You can find out about it on their website, but we will have it on our website when we put this show out. How do you find it? You can just click on it. You'll never forget it. If that's not an option, take some time to think about how you can become a solution to cutting down on waste in your home and your place of employment. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has actually given us the very clear and substantive warning that we have 12 years to take drastic, dramatic, and lasting change for the way we do things now. I say let's do it and inspire others to follow. So, Martin, thank you. This was delightful, and I want to just talk about two shows coming up. And I really mean that. Thank you. You know a lot.
Very
and you
welcome.
Answered all the questions great. And now my landfill obsession is even greater. But on February 12th, a show that I've been waiting for about 5 years, I think, Brenda Peterson, Wolf Nation, The Life, Death, and Return of Wild American Wolves. And on February 14th, Valentine's Day, our friends Judy Simmons and Matthew Flores from Goodwill of Southern Arizona spread the love with donations. So make it a great green cut down on your waste week, everybody. And thanks for being a part of our world.